All right, if the Senate will please come to order. The Assistant Chief Clerk is going to call the roll, please.
Roll call for Monday, February 29. Anderson.
Here.
Barnard.
Here.
Ooh, wait. There we go. Okay. Barnard.
Here.
Bebout.
Here.
Boner.
Here.
Burns.
Here.
Case.
Present.
Christensen.
Here.
Coe.
Here.
Cooper.
Here.
Kraft.
Here.
Dockstetter.
Here.
Driscoll.
Here.
Emmerich.
Here.
Escobel.
Here.
Geis.
Here.
Hastert.
Yes.
Hicks.
Here.
Johnson.
Here.
Kinski.
Here.
Landon.
Here.
Meyer.
Here.
Pappas.
Here.
Perkins.
Here.
Peterson.
Here.
Ross.
Here.
Rothfuss.
Here.
Scott.
Here.
Von Flatern.
Here.
Wasserberger.
Here.
President Nicholas.
Here.
30 present.
We have a new pastor with us this week. It's Reverend Kevin Franks. He's with the First Congressional Church, our neighbor to the west. He's actually our landlord, so be nice to him, and he'll give you a better parking space. Reverend Franks, if you'd please lead us with the prayer.
All right. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, as we come before you today, we ask, God, for your blessing upon us. We ask that you would give us guidance and direction. Lord, you know before us all of the business and all of the busyness of this day. And Lord, you know the pressures of getting things accomplished. And so we ask that you would give us understanding and wisdom that can only come from your hand. Lord, give us an ability to accomplish all of the things needed. For we ask during this time that you would pour blessing upon each and every person who is here today. We ask for your protection and blessing upon their families as well, and all of the staff, that God, you would, throughout this day, extend blessing and honor to those who are represented here today. And we thank you for that, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please join me in the pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Play ball. Will the reading clerk please read the Journal Committee report?
Mr. President, your Journal Committee reports that the Journal of February 26, 2016 has been read and recommends that it be approved. Senator Wasserberger, Chairman.
Are there any objections? Without objections, the report is adopted. See, new business. We have the nurse of the day is from the University of Wyoming. It's Laramie today. It's Cherie Rubio Wallace. Thank you. Would everybody welcome her today? And we do have a doctor of the day. The doctor of the day is Dr. Kim Westbrook from Laramie. And she's particularly handy if you're into obstetrics or gynecology. It's always interesting to have a... I've always intrigued when I take in a prescription from... It's good to have a doctor in the family. It's always interesting to take a prescription for antibiotics and for a cold to... the pharmacist from the Laramie Women's Clinic. They always look pretty. You have a little Kim. I think the last time she was on the floor is she had to wear Senator Burns' flashy glasses back when she was in medical school. Today in history, 45 B.C., the last leap day was, look at that day, 45 B.C., the last leap day was recognized by proclamation of Julius Caesar. under the old Roman calendar, the last day of February was the last day of the year. Session status. Today is day 16 of the proposed 20-day session. Today is the last day for Committee of the Whole on bills in the second house. Tomorrow is the last day for second reading. You get it. And third reading, and we're done. We have messages from the House.
February 26, 2016, from the House of Representatives. The following messages are regarding Committee of the Whole indefinitely postponed. Mr. President, the House adopted the Committee of the Whole report failing the bill Senate File 12, Vietnam War Commemoration 2, by the vote indicated. Ayes 6, noes 51, excused 3. The bill has been indefinitely postponed. Committee of the Whole indefinitely postponed. The House adopted the Committee of the Whole report failing the bill Senate File 24, Supplemental At-Risk Funding for Early Childhood Education. Ayes 21, noes 35, excused 4. The bill has been indefinitely postponed. Signed, Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
Apparently the House neither likes children nor vets. We're at the... Is that all the messages? Do we have any standing committee reports? We're at that order of business of signing of enrolled acts. Enrolled Act number 17.
Enrolled Act number 17, formerly being Senate File number 30, an act relating to elections.
I'm about ready to sign Enrolled Act number 17, Senate, being original Senate File number 30. I have so signed. Enrolled Act number 18, Senate.
Enrolled Act number 18, originally being Senate File 38, an act relating to administration of government.
I'm about ready to sign Senate Enrolled Act number 18, being original Senate File number 38. I have so signed. Yikes. Uniform Securities Act. House Enrolled Act number 6.
House Enrolled Act number 6, being original House Bill number 31, an act relating to the Uniform Securities Act.
I'm about ready to sign House Enrolled Act number 6, being original House Bill number 31. I have so signed. Looks like the corporations is doing its share to keep the laws down. House Enrolled Act number 7.
House Enrolled Act number 7, being original House Bill 88, an act relating to the administration of government.
I'm about ready to sign House Enrolled Act number 7, being original House Bill number 88. So signed. House Enrolled Act number 54. Let me restate that. I think I did it wrong. House Enrolled Act number 8.
House Enrolled Act number 8, being original House Bill 54, an act relating to labor and employment.
I'm about outright to sign House Enrolled Act Number 8, being original House Bill Number 54. If so signed. House Enrolled Act Number 9.
House Enrolled Act Number 9, being original House Bill 46, an act relating to workers' compensation.
I'm about ready to sign House Enrolled Act Number 9, being original House Bill Number 46. So signed. House Enrolled Act Number 10.
House Enrolled Act Number 10, being original House Bill 20, an act relating to state public purpose investments.
House Enrolled Act Number, I'm about ready to sign House Enrolled Act Number 10, being original House Bill 20. So signed. House Enrolled Act Number 11.
House Enrolled Act Number 11, being original House Bill 28, an act relating to the Municipal Solid Waste Facilities Cease and Transfer Program.
I'm about ready to sign House Enrolled Act Number 11, being original House Bill 28. I have so signed. House Enrolled Act Number 12.
House Enrolled Act Number 12, being original House Bill 52, an act relating to school facility projects.
I'm about ready to sign House Enrolled Act Number 12, being original House Bill Number 52. So signed. House Enrolled Act Number 13.
House Enrolled Act Number 13, being original House Bill 32, an act relating to insurance regulation.
I'm about ready to sign House Enrolled Act Number 13, being original House Bill Number 32. So signed. Concurrence reports. Senator Scott, are you ready with respect to the concurrence on Senate File 45?
Yes, Mr. President.
Will the reading clerk please read in the concurrence message number 201?
Message number 201, referencing Senate file number 45, Rural Healthcare Districts Authority.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, I move that we do concur on the House amendments and urge the Senate to vote no. Mr. President, this is the Rural Healthcare Districts Bill that authorizes the districts to actually operate a hospital. There are some particular reasons why one county in particular wants to do that. It makes sense for them to adopt this route. What the House did was we in the Senate had removed the provision that where they have the election that they have to repeat it every 4 years. The last thing you want to do with a hospital is to have to put it to an election every 4 years where your mill levy support might go away and cause all kinds of trouble. That gives you difficulty with the ongoing operation. There are some other districts where I think that kind of provision makes sense, but not with one that's operating such one like a hospital. And this has been our general Senate policy, has been in these districts that don't make any sense to remove the proposition that that has to go to a vote of the people. Again, every 4 years, you can still petition and have a vote of the people. So I would urge that we do not concur over this particular issue and go back and discuss the error of their ways with them.
The motion is the Senate do concur on Senate file number 45, reflected in message number 201, and you've been asked to vote no. If the clerk would please call the roll. It's Senate file 45, message number 201.
Anderson?
No.
No. Barnard?
No.
No. Bebout?
No.
No. Boner?
No.
No. Burns?
No.
No. Case?
No.
No. Christensen?
No.
No. Coe?
No.
No. Cooper?
No.
No. Kraft?
No.
No. Dockstetter?
No.
No. Driscoll?
No.
No. Emmerich?
No.
Escobel?
No.
No. Geis?
No.
No. Hastert?
No.
No. Hicks?
No.
No. Johnson?
No.
No. Kinski?
No.
No. Landon?
No.
No. Meyer?
No.
No. Pappas?
No.
No. Perkins?
Aye.
Aye. Peterson?
No.
No. Ross?
No.
No. Rothfuss?
No.
No. Scott?
No.
No. Von Platern?
Aye.
Aye. Wasserberger?
No.
No. President Nicholas?
No.
No. Closing vote? Closing vote closed. 2 ayes, 28 no.
By your vote, you have failed to concur with the House amendments to Senate file number 45, as shown in message number 201. Senator Scott, are you ready with respect to the concurrence on Senate file number 57?
Yes, Mr. President.
Will the reading clerk please read in the message?
Message number 204, referencing Senate file number 57, Freestanding Emergency Center.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, I move we do concur with House amendments on Senate file 57 regarding the freestanding emergency centers. And reluctantly, I ask the Senate to vote no. Mr. President, the House did a number of things to this bill. This is the bill that requires licensure of any prospective freestanding emergency centers. In the Standing Committee amendment, they eliminated a section regarding licensure of ones that belong to rural health care districts or rural hospital districts. I'm not clear why they did that. I want to talk to them about that. They may be right and they may not. They improved the language there on the business of it being located a separate district to hospital. That's simply a language improvement. And then in the divided committee of the whole amendment, they removed a provision that we had that said that those freestanding emergency centers had to take people regardless of ability to pay or insurance status, specifically being on Medicare or Medicaid. That would allow one to come in that was designed to cherry pick, would put our hospitals at a disadvantage because they do have to take Medicare and Medicaid that don't pay as well. And, Mr. Chairman, perhaps even more importantly, in our smaller communities and even our medium-sized communities, there's only enough population to support one emergency room. You get a competitor in that won't take Medicare and Medicaid. Anybody over 65 can't go to the emergency room in their home community. The House amendment does considerable harm in that respect. And then there was a requirement for a transfer agreement, and they moved the requirement that it be an adequate transfer agreement. I don't quite understand what they're doing there. So, Mr. President, for all those reasons, I urge the Senate to vote no on concurrence on this bill.
The motion is the Senate do concur with Senate file number 57, and you've been asked to vote no. Will the chief clerk please call the roll?
Anderson?
No.
No. Barnard?
No.
No. Bebout?
No.
No. Boner?
No.
No. Burns?
No.
No. Case?
Aye.
Aye. Christensen?
No.
Coe?
No.
No. Cooper?
No.
No. Kraft?
No.
No. Dockstetter?
No.
No. Driscoll?
No.
No. Emmerich?
No.
No. Escobel?
No.
No. Geis?
No.
No. Hastert?
No.
No. Hicks?
No.
No. Johnson?
No.
No. Kinski?
No.
No. Landon?
No.
No. Meyer?
No.
No. Pappas?
No.
No. Perkins?
No.
No. Peterson?
No.
No. Roth?
No.
No. Rothfuss?
No.
No. Scott?
No.
No. Von Platern?
No.
No. Wasserberger?
No.
No. President Nicholas?
No.
No. Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 1 aye, 21 no.
By your vote, you have failed to concur with the House amendments to Senate File 57, as reflected in message number 204. The Conference Committee for Senate File 45 is Cooper chairman, Hicks, and Hastert. The Conference Committee for Senate File 57 is Scott chairman, Landon, and Kraft. We're at that order of business of bills on second reading. House Bill 8, second reading of the bill.
House Bill number 8, Property Assessment Test Rules.
There are no amendments. Appears to be no discussion. House Bill 8, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. House Bill 11, second reading of the bill.
House Bill 11, Energy Producing States Coalition Extension.
There are no amendments. There's no discussion. House Bill 11, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. House Bill number 13, second reading of the bill.
House Bill 13, Public Records Student Communications.
House Bill number 13, there are no amendments. No discussion, having been read two separate times. The question is, shall House Bill 13 be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. House Bill number 19, second reading of the bill.
House Bill number 19, Statewide Student Assessment.
We have amendments. Would the reading clerk please read in the amendment?
House Bill number 19, second reading amendment number 1, to engrossed copy, page 9, line 15.
Senator Bebout.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 19. Members of the Senate, if you look at your bill on page 9, we're talking about the state assessment system shall do certain things, and what they did on line 14, and they added the words, to the extent practicable, measure student performance in Wyoming on a comparative basis with student performance in other states. And, Mr. President, I had spoken with some of the people that were on the task force that had looked at this and worked very diligently on this, and it was not their understanding this would be in there. They wanted to close that loophole, so we would, in fact, measure student performance on a comparative basis, and that's what the amendment does, Mr. President. It deletes to the extent practical, so it says the state assessment shall measure student performance in Wyoming on a comparative basis with student performance in other states. I would ask for your support and be glad to answer any questions.
Any questions on the amendment? The question on second reading, amendment number 1 to House Bill number 19. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Second reading, amendment number 1 has been adopted. We're on second reading, amendment number 2. The reading clerk would please read it in.
House Bill number 19, second reading, amendment number 2 to engrossed copy. Page 19 after line 20.
Senator Coe.
Mr. President, move second reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 19, statewide student assessment. What this amendment does is it's conforming language that the staff brought to me as it relates to the appropriation of $70,000 with Senate File 32 that worked its way to the other side. That's alternative school accountability so that we don't end up with the double appropriation in House Bill 19 and Senate File 32 as it relates to the Select Committee on Education Accountability. So it's just a conforming amendment brought to me by the staff so that we can work out these two things as they work their way through. Urge your support.
Any further questions? Discussion, there being none. The question is on second reading number 2 to House Bill 19. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That amendment has been adopted. We're back on the bill. Any further discussion? There being none, Senate House Bill number 19 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. House Bill number 27, second reading of the bill.
House Bill 27, Legislative Oversight.
House Bill number 27, any discussion? There are no amendments. Having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. House Bill number 30, second reading of the bill.
House Bill 30, Obsolete Laws.
No amendments, no discussion. House Bill 30, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. House Bill number 36, second reading of the bill.
House Bill 36, Livestock Dealers.
There's no amendments, no discussion. House Bill 36, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. House Bill 41, second reading of the bill.
House Bill 41, Omnibus Water Bill Construction.
There are no amendments. There is no discussion. House Bill number 41, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. House Bill number 43, second reading of the bill.
House Bill 43, Concealed Weapons, Military Applicant.
There's no amendments or discussion. House Bill number 43, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. House Bill number 57, second reading of the bill.
House Bill 57, Upper Payment Limit Program, Private Hospitals.
House Bill 57, there are no amendments or discussion. Having been read two separate times, the question is, pardon me, and we're going to back up to House Bill 57, Senator Scott.
Mr. President, House Bill 57, there was a question asked in Committee of the Whole, and that's what happens if there's an overpayment and gets found in an audit or something. We posed that question to the Health Department, and the answer we got back, if the payment to the hospital was termed to be an overpayment, then yes, the federal share would need to be paid back. The state would get that money back from the provider. So if a hospital makes an error and it's an overpayment, we collect out of the hospital, and as long as the hospital stays in business, and they do, that's no problem. We're making payments to them all the time, so we can just deduct it from the next payment, basically. So the state is not at any significant risk. There's some more language here about some of the bureaucratic details of how you go about doing it. And the only thing, I would be happy to share this with anybody that really wants it, but I didn't distribute it because of the paper flow around here, Mr. President. But if I think the health department may be a little naive about what goes on in the hospital sometimes, But the basic answer is the state's not at risk. The hospital that made the mistake's at risk.
Any further discussion? There being none, House Bill 57 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection is so ordered. House Bill 58, second reading of the bill.
House Bill 58, Human Trafficking, Forfeiture of Property.
Any discussion? I think there is an amendment. Would the reading clerk please read in the amendment?
House Bill 58, second reading amendment number 1 to engrossed copy, page 13, line 11.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, I move adoption of this amendment. Mr. President, very simple amendment. The bill as it stands before us right now provides, after the forfeiture has gone through all the process, if there's any net proceeds, that goes to Crime Victims Compensation Fund. The only problem with that is the Constitution provides that it goes to the Common School Fund of the Fairfax County. Constitution is written in terms of fines and penalties. This is a forfeiture, Mr. President. Come on now. A forfeiture is a penalty. And that's all this does is conform this bill to the requirements of that piece of the Constitution. I've noticed over my years here that the Senate is gradually getting stricter about enforcing this particular provision of our Constitution, and I think that's wise, and that's what the amendment does, and I urge its adoption.
Any discussion on the amendment? Senator Von Flatern.
Thank you, Mr. President. I guess if we had the time, we had a couple more weeks, I'd argue that point, that this is a penalty or fine that needs to go to this foundation. But what I will caution everybody about is that 99% is probably on the I-90, I-80, and probably I-80 corridor. So there's only about five counties that would ever see this. And it says to the county's school fund and the counties as provided. So it should only be those counties that probably will ever see this. And I don't have the time to argue about this on the penalty aspect, but I'll agree with the tall senator on that part.
Any further discussion? There being none, the question is on second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 58. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
That motion has been adopted. We're now back on the bill. Any further discussion on the bill? There being none, House Bill 58 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection is so ordered. House Bill 74, second reading of the bill.
House Bill 74, Upper Payment Limit Program, Public Nursing Homes.
There are no amendments, no discussion. House Bill 74 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection is so ordered. House Bill 76, second reading of the bill.
House Bill 76, Designated Caregiver.
There's no amendments. There's no discussion. House Bill 76 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. House Bill 77, second reading of the bill.
House Bill 77, Electronic Assessment Forms.
There are no amendments, no discussion. House Bill 77 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. House Bill 80, second reading of the bill.
House Bill 80, Community College Budget Request Recalibration.
No amendments, no discussion. House Bill 80 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection is so ordered. House Bill 84, second reading of the bill.
House Bill 84, catering permits.
There are no amendments and no discussion. House Bill 84 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. House Bill 87, Second reading of the bill.
House Bill 87, School Finance Non-Residence Attendance.
There are no amendments, no discussion. House Bill 87, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall it be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. House Bill 130, second reading of the bill.
House Bill 130, Juvenile Detention Facility Definition.
There are no amendments, no discussion. House Bill 130, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. House Bill 137, second reading of the bill.
House Bill 137, Controlled Substances Disposal.
There are no amendments, no discussion. House Bill 137, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered.
Mr. President.
Senator Von Flatern.
I think my mic is still on.
It is still on.
It is.
I hope you're good.
I was trying to be. Fellow senators, in the gallery of the fishbowl behind us is the Eagle Scouts who are down here to tell the governor, to report to the governor the state of the state of Eagle Scouts or scouting in general. So would you please welcome to the Senate the Eagle Scouts of Wyoming.
Senator Hastert.
Thank you, Mr. President. To kind of dovetail with that, not only do we have Eagle Scouts, but we have the entire Troop 312, the Wyoming Trails, Troop 8 from Sweetwater County, Green River and Rock Springs. We got a few of their leaders with us, Steve Allen, Chris Sherwin, Bill Byers, and then a gentleman that I've known for a tremendous amount of time that has put well over 20 years into Scouts, Dennis Freeman. He's also, I understand, going to be retiring as an educator after 30-some years. And so I'd like you to welcome the troops from Green River, Rock Springs, Sweetwater County troops.
We're at that order of business of bills on third reading and final passage. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, do you have a consent list?
Mr. President, we do have a consent list. I move the third reading consent list, which is as follows. House Bill 35, Pharmacy Benefit Manager Regulation. House Bill 39, Enhanced Speeding Fines Amendments. House Bill 49, Abandoned Vehicles 2. House Bill 66, Retired Firefighters License Plates Renewal. House Bill 67, Senior Center Meals Tax, Sales Tax Exemption. House Bill 75, Professional Licensure Boards. House Bill 85, Medical Education Funding. House Bill 107, Uniform Real Property Electronic Recording Act. House Bill 108, Foreign LLC Operation in Wyoming. House Joint Resolution 2, Kenny Sailors, Naismith Hall of Fame. And House Joint Resolution 4, Gray Wolves and Grizzly Bears.
Would any of the members like any of the bills on the consent list removed? There being no request, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the Senate? House Bill 35, Pharmacy Benefit Manager Regulation. House Bill 39, Enhanced Speeding Fines Amendments. House Bill 49, Abandoned Vehicles 2. House Bill 66, Retired Firefighters License Plates Renewal. House Bill 67, Senior Center Meal Sales Tax Exemption. House Bill 75, Professional Licensure Boards. House Bill 85, Medical Education Funding. House Bill 107, Uniform Real Property Electronic Recording Act. House Bill 108, Foreign LLC Operation in Wyoming. House Joint Resolution Number 2, Kenny Sailors, Naismith Hall of Fame. House Joint Resolution Number 4, Gray Wolves and Grizzly Bears. Will the Chief Clerk please call the roll?
on the consent list. Anderson?
Aye.
Barnard?
Aye.
Bebout?
Aye.
Boner?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
Aye.
Christensen?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
Kraft?
Aye.
Dockstetter?
Aye.
Driscoll?
Aye.
Emmerich?
Aye.
Escobel?
Aye.
Geis?
Aye.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hicks?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Kinski?
Aye.
Landon?
Aye.
Meyer?
Aye.
Pappas?
Aye.
Perkins?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Ross?
Aye.
Rothfuss?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Von Platern?
Aye.
Wasserberger?
Aye.
President Nicholas?
Aye.
On the consent list, 30 aye. House Bill 35, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 35, 30 aye. House Bill 39, are there any changes?
Scott, no.
Scott? I to no.
Case,
I to no.
Perkins,
I
to no.
Dockstetter, I to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 39, 26 aye, 4 no. House Bill 49, are there any changes? Case, aye to no. Wasserberger, aye to no.
Perkins,
aye to no. Coe, aye to no. Hicks, aye to no. Dockstetter, aye to no. Burns, aye to no.
Nicholas, aye to no.
Nicholas, aye to no. Closing. Ross,
aye
to no.
Kinski,
aye to no. Peterson, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 49, 19 aye, 11 no. House Bill 66, are there any changes?
Hicks,
aye to no. Scott, aye to no. Case, aye to no. Burns,
aye
to no. Perkins, aye to no. Driscoll,
aye
to no. Wasserberger, aye to no.
Nicholas.
Dockstetter, aye to no.
Nicholas, aye to no.
Nicholas, aye to no. Kinski,
aye
to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 66, 20 aye, 10 no. House Bill 67, are there any changes?
Case,
aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 67, 29 aye, 1 no. House Bill 75, are there any changes? Landon, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 75, 29 aye, 1 no. House Bill 85, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 85, 30 aye. House Bill 107. Are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 107, 30-I. House Bill 108. Are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 108, 30-I. House Joint Resolution Number 2. Are there any changes?
Go Pokes.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Joint Resolution 2, 30-I. House Joint Resolution 4. Are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Joint Resolution 4, 30-I.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, House Bills 35, 39, 49, 66, 67, 75, 85, 107, 108, House Joint Resolution Number 2, and House Joint Resolution Number 4 have all passed the Senate. House Bill 51. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I ask that House Bill 51 be laid back until tomorrow.
Senator Anderson. The motion by the majority floor leader is that the House bill be moved back for one additional day to third reading tomorrow. All those in favor? Senator Cote.
I don't believe that there was a motion, just a request.
That's right. It is a motion. So, Mr. Majority Floor Leader, if you'd make the motion to lay it back for one day.
Well, Mr. President, I didn't realize there'd be a big objection, so I move that we lay the bill back until third reading.
The motion is to lay back House Bill number 51 to third reading. Discussion on the motion.
Point of order, I think you mean for third reading tomorrow, laying it back one day, not would be disobedient.
Well, let's make sure. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, would you clarify your motion?
Mr. President, for the third time, I move that we lay back House Bill 51 until tomorrow, which is third reading tomorrow.
All right. You've heard the motion. Discussion on the motion. Senator Anderson.
Mr. President, I object. We've laid this back. On the 25th, we laid it back. We've had plenty of time to discuss it. The two parties involved, the two municipalities involved, have had an entire year to work out the formulas, and it's time to move this bill on. Thank you.
Senator Burns, any further discussion? Senator Case.
Mr. President, I just would point out that it's a very common practice to be able to lay a bill back in the Senate. It's a privilege. Usually there's a good reason for it, and we still have time. It seems that it is a courtesy to those that are trying to get amendments and supporting evidence for those amendments. Senate File 51 is a very complicated bill. Doesn't seem like this hurts the decorum or the process, and gives more people the opportunity to participate.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, it has been our custom. In this case, there is another factor to consider. This is very complicated. These formulas are very complicated. We're real shorthanded in our LSO staff And I think we're starting to abuse them. And the amount of creativity in this body for the bill like this laid back for another day is almost infinite. I doubt that it's going to change anything. I think we might as well go ahead and vote.
Any further discussion before the movement takes its second and final? Senator Ebebout.
Well, thank you, Mr. President. I appreciate those comments. And it is complicated, and as we look at the different formulas, there has been another idea that just was recently sent around that I think has merit and should be discussed. Quite frankly, Mr. President, even when I look at it, there's questions I have, and I'm not prepared to vote on it up or down, so I think we need the time now. Does that mean we'll have four or five more tomorrow? That could very well be, but I think this body will by then have enough of this bill, and we'll vote their conscience. We'll get it out of here. So I would ask that we lay it back one day, and let's give everybody a fair chance on the latest one.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no?
No.
That motion has been adopted. House Bill 51 is laid back for till third reading tomorrow. Do you have any messages? We have a message.
February 29, 2016, from the House of Representatives, message number 212, conferees appointed, Joint Conference Committee 1. Mr. President, the Speaker appointed House conferees to meet with a like committee number 1 from the Senate on amendments to Senate File 42. The House conferees are Representatives Wanitzer, Dan, Chairman, Representative Blackburn, Representative Kasparik. Signed, Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
Any further? Mr. Majority Floor Leader, that clears the desk, or we're at that, not doesn't clear the desk, but we are at that order of business of bills on general file.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move the Senate resolve itself and the committee of the whole discuss bills on general file.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That motion has been adopted. Senator Burns.
Chair is set for a munchkin.
Committee of the Whole, please come to order. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 50. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 50, Appropriation for the Legislature, an act relating to appropriations for the legislature, sponsored by the Management Council. It was referred to Committee Number 12, Rules, which returned the committee recommendation that it do pass amended. Ayes, Senators Bebout, Kraft, Nicholas, Perkins, and Rothfuss. Senator Nicholas, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What's your pleasure, Mr. Majority Floor Leader?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I move in the committee whole rise and report to you with a favorable recommendation that House Bill 50 do pass. And there are several, there's a standing committee amendment I ask to be read in at this time.
House Bill number 50, Standing Committee Amendment number 1, to engrossed copy, page 6, line 4.
Ms. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, members of the Senate, this is the feed bill. I'll walk you through it very quickly. If you look at page 1, it's the LSO staff permanent temporary of $6.8 million. The legislators while in session, $1.1 million. And then interim session staff and employee paid benefits. You can see all those. We have in-state travel, mileage per diem for session and interim. We have out-of-state travel, both for per diem and expenses. Then we also have annual duals, Mr. Chairman, the NCL, NCSL. We have the Energy Council, Council of State Governments, and others. We have registration fees and telecommunications and the ITC. We also have on page 3, Mr. Chairman, general administrative support, which is $984,000, and then statute, session laws, and digest to bring the total to $18,271,738. And then if you go through the bill, Mr. Chairman, we talk about laptop computer shall be sold in accordance with our directives. We further go on to a standard provision travel. The appropriation of out-of-state travel shall be used to reimburse legislators for documented legislative travel and per diem expenses. Pretty much standard language. Section 4 is also carry forward of prior appropriations, Mr. Chairman. And then we've got on the bottom of page 5, or top of page 5, any unobligated and unexpended amounts reappropriated for the expenditures are reappropriated for that expenditure for the period commencing July 1, 2016 to 2018. That deals with the reversions. Mr. Chairman, on the bottom of page 5, we have the sale of legislative laptop computers and how we deal with that. Mr. Chairman, some of the other areas, we have the technology project. This is an ongoing project. We've had in place for a while, and we have allocated $250,000 general fund to that. The new legislative training compensation, if you look on page 6 and 7, is $62,000. And then we have some definitions as elected, a legislator-elect, and newly appointed legislator. Then the reapportionment of school foundation program account funds, Mr. Chairman, on the bottom, page 7, working through that, talks about how we would deal with that, and this section is effective immediately. We have a special contingency fund for general fund to the LSO to be spent at the direction of management council for extraordinary expenses, and this is something that's pretty consistent with past legislative fee bills. And then we have the reapportion of digital information privacy task force funds on section 9. That's $8,000. And we go to section 10, economic development authorized travel. There's $50,000 for the legislative service office for legislative travel as authorized in this section. And then we have a section B. We talk about incidental and other available appropriations for legislature traveling out of state, including internationally. We reimburse them. And then the two changes, Mr. Chairman, I think it's important that the House made and the gross that wasn't in the original one is their $42,000 on Section 11, and this deals with the State Treasurer Investment Conference up at UCross, and Section 12 is $40,000. That's for the capital oversight, and that was very quick, Mr. Chairman, but I'll be glad to answer any questions before we can talk about the Standing Committee Amendment.
Any questions? The clerk, the reading clerk, will read the Standing Committee Amendment.
How much is it?
House Bill Number 50, Standing Committee Amendment Number 1, to engrossed copy, page 6, line 4.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 50. Members of the Senate, what this did, it went into the ITC account, and we added $25,000 additional dollars for the development and improvements of the legislative website. There was a lot of discussion by the Rules Committee as the access to that legislative website, and it was sort of difficult for some people to follow through, so we were going to spend $25,000 to make it more user-friendly. I'll be glad to answer any questions. Otherwise, ask for the question on the Standing Committee Amendment.
Any questions? All those in favor of Senator Bebout's motion to adopt the Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 50, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 50 has passed.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A member of the Senate, this is a reduction from our previous fee bill that we had the last two-year cycle. I don't have that number in front of me, but I'll be glad to bring that and share it with the members of the Senate tomorrow, but it is a reduction.
Okay. There is a Committee of the Whole Amendment. The reading clerk will read the Committee of the Whole Amendment.
House Bill Number 50, Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1, to engrossed copy, page 5, line 16.
Mr. President.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I move Committee of the Whole Number 1 to House Bill 50. Folks, what this does is clarify the engagement of consultants that address for the education consultants. What we're asking to hear is prior to the legislative office contracting with any consultant, that a voice vote be taken by the Joint Education Interim Committee, that before Management Council takes it, takes the vote, it keeps the Education Committee more engaged and with a better understanding of how those funds are being deployed. I urge your support.
Any discussion? Senator Coe.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I think this is fine. I just, kind of wonder how the time frame is going to work out, as we, have to take a boat and, we might not meet for a while and there might be something has to happen. Just curious how the time frame might work out.
Any other questions? Any other discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor of Senator Nicholas's motion to adopt Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 50, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 50 has passed Committee of the Whole. We're back on the bill. Any further discussion?
Question.
Question being called. All those in favor of Senator Bebout's motion to adopt, I'm sorry, all those in, I'm looking at the wrong thing. All those in favor of Senator Bebout's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do so with a favorable recommendation on House Bill 50, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. House Bill 50 has passed Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 6. The reading clerk will read the House Bill.
House Bill Number 6, Return of Victims' Property Held as Evidence, an Act Relating to the Victim and Witness Bill of Rights, sponsored by Representative Pownall, was referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Christensen, Esquivel, Hicks, Kinski, and Von Flatern. Senator Christensen, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What's your pleasure, Senator Christensen?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when Committee of the Whole rises to report to do so with a favorable recommendation of Senate File 6, House Bill 6, the return of victims' property held as evidence. Mr. Chairman, this is a bill that just allows people to get their property back a little earlier. Typically what happens is folks, evidence is collected, party or relative to a crime. Quite often it's the victim's evidence that is collected. And this bill allows victims to be able to get it back sooner through giving a mechanism for the prosecutors, short of a court order, to now just require photographs taken if it's appropriate. And you can see in the language, it's within 60 days they can the prosecutor will determine whether photographs will work as evidence. And if they do, then they can take the photos and law enforcement can return the property back. It'll do a couple of things. Not only do the victims get their property back or the parties, and it may be their tools of the trade, but also it reduces the storage and inventory issues that go on with evidence that sits around for a long time. And with that, I'd ask for your favorable vote.
Any discussion? Senator Perkins.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, I have a question. We now in the... just wondering how this fits in with assets forfeiture and son of asset forfeiture and that we've got going on, and looking at that, I'm not just wondering how that interacts with those should they become law. Obviously, there's property there that is in some cases evidence, and certainly has been determined to be used in at least in trafficking. Now we've got a human trafficking bill, which might be grandson of asset forfeiture, but. Anyway, as we go through that, I just wondered how that all works together.
Senator Christensen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Down on party, I think the question's answered. Down on line 10, contraband is not subject to this subsection. Property subject to evidentiary analysis or property of which the ownership is disputed shall not be subject. And some of the issues we're talking about here raised by the good senator would fall under that ownership being disputed.
Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Certainly, contraband, I don't think anybody has an issue with that. But as an asset forfeiture, most time we're talking about cash, cars, and houses. So I'd be interested in how that works.
Senator Christensen.
I'd like to call for the question first.
Mr. Chairman, you know, if we've got some ideas and it needs to be spelled out further, we could look at that for a second reading amendment. But with that, I'll sit down and...
Any other discussion? Ready for the question? All those in favor of Senator Christensen's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rise to report that do so with a favorable recommendation on House Bill 6, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
House Bill 6 has passed Committee of the Whole. The next bill up for our consideration is House Bill 95. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 95, Abandoned Gift Certificates and Value Cards, Sunset Repeal, an act relating to unclaimed property, sponsored by Representative Petroff, was referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Christensen, Esquivel, Hicks, Kinski, and Von Flatern, Senator Christensen, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What's your pleasure, Senator Christensen?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with a favorable recommendation on House Bill 95, Abandoned Gift Certificates and Value Cards, with a sunset repeal, to present this bill. Senator Scott.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, this very simple bill, you can read it at what it does repeal the sunset date. Mr. President, this relates to how we handle gift cards. There was a compromise worked out by your Joint Corporations Committee a couple years ago. The testimony in the committee at that time was that the Commission on the Uniform State Laws was working on this issue, and we were expecting that the uniform law would be done and we'd have plenty of time to adopt it, and that would cause this section to be modified. The sunset was put in here as a placeholder to make sure that we modified our section to conform the uniform laws. That effort has come to grief, and God knows when and if such a thing will ever come forward. So the sunset date is no longer appropriate. There's quite a section. You can read it, 3424114. As to exactly how these are handled for many people. They don't come under the unclaimed property law because the law provides, if there's no expiration date, and that's the most common version of this, they just stay in effect and keep on going. But where there is, then there's various procedures as to how you handle them. Those are still needed. It does for somebody who's coming in the state who might be issuing a lot of these. This is a major uncertainty to have with the sunset date hanging here and no prospect it's going to be replaced by a uniform law. So we are starting to lose a little business because of the sunset date, hence the request to get it repealed. Mr. President, it's a good bill. It's needed. I urge the Senate to adopt it.
Any other discussion? Senator Scott, I'm Mr. Chairman, not Mr. President. Any other discussion? Seeing none. All those in favor of Senator Christensen's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rise to report, it do so with a favorable recommendation on House Bill 95, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. House Bill 95 has passed Committee of the Whole. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 105. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 105, ABLE Act, an act relating to welfare, sponsored by Representative Throne, was referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Burns, Hastert, Perkins, Ross, no, Senator Wasserberger, Senator Ross, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What's your pleasure, Senator Christensen?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with favorable consideration on House Bill 105, the ABLE Act, to present this bill, Senator Kraft. And there is a standing committee amendment, if we could read that in.
House Bill Number 105, Standing Committee Amendment Number 1, to engrossed copy, page 4, line 14.
I'd move the amendment.
It's been moved. Senator Kraft.
Thank you so much, Mr. Chairman. What I would like to do is just explain briefly the purpose of this legislation and then defer back to the good chair of judiciary to walk you through the standing committee amendment. The purpose of this particular piece of legislation is actually to provide a tax-deferred savings vehicle for people with disabilities, and it's actually going to be housed in the 529 Education Savings Program, which provides some tax advantages for educational savings for state and educational institutions. And the idea for that one is to kind of help families set aside funds for future educational costs, like future college costs. But this is for our developmentally disabled population. And so what this is to allow a savings program which will grow tax-deferred, tax-exempt when it's used for qualified disability expenses. An eligible individual under this particular account is anyone who is disabled, defined as being entitled to any benefits under either Title II or Title 26 of the Social Security Act. That's blindness, has a disability certification, has become disabled before they reach the age of 26. The disability certification basically says they must have a medically determinable physical or mental impairment, and that would result in marked and severe functional limitations. Has to be signed by a physician. It requires a yearly eligibility. There can only be one account per beneficiary. The contribution limit is the same as the federal gift tax limitation, which is $14,000. And the distributions, and I think this is an important part of the legislation, it's like, what are you going to use this for? Because, of course, the 529, you're using it for educational expenses. These distributions are qualified disability expenses, and it includes a big laundry list of them: education, housing, transportation, employment training, support, health, prevention and wellness, financial management, legal fees, funeral, burial expenses. So basically, this provides the vehicle for our disabled population to also access some deferred savings programs for not only educational benefits, but a variety of other things conducive to examination with their particular set of disabilities. That's the bill in a nutshell. And, Mr. Chairman, with your permission, I would defer to Senator Christensen to explain the Standing Committee amendment.
Senator Christensen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a more or less a little cleanup here. It strengthens it. On page 4, line 14, after trust, insert subject to the Uniform Trust Code. And then on page 4, line 21, after beneficiaries, insert except as provided in Wyoming State Statute in 429108. Over on page 18, we delete an and put in a comma on line 7. And then on line 8 of 18, after treasurer, insert and officials and employees of the Medicaid program in the state.
Okay, it's been read and moved.
And I'd call for the favorable vote on that one, on the amendment.
Any discussion on the Standing Committee amendment? All those in favor of Senator Christensen's motion to adopt the Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 105, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 105 has passed Committee of the Whole. We're back on the bill.
Question.
Any further discussion on the bill?
Mr. President, or Mr.
Chairman. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A couple of questions. The first one is on page 4, down at the bottom of the page, where we say the property rights shall not exist in the trust in favor of the state of Wyoming. I'm trying to wrap my hands around why we do that. The next question is, of course, this will be under the state treasurer's office, and they were supposed to get back to us about the potential impact of this new program. Maybe the sponsor could speak to that, if, in fact, we did have a chance to hear from the state treasurer. And the other thing, and I recall Section 529 when we did it for the for education, for our children, so they could go to a college. And we had a bill, I believe my colleague from Park County and I carried that bill. It was a great idea.
But now, 15 years later, it was never really implemented. There was no movement in Wyoming, and if you want to do that now, you have to do it through Colorado. I'm wondering if we got the cart before the horse here, if there really a need out there, and if this is something that we ought to wait and see if in fact, the other states do well, or we're jumping out ahead of it at this particular time.
Any further discussions? Senator Hicks.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I was a no on this in the committee, and I think it'll address some of the good senator from Fremont County's concerns. Let me walk through some of the testimony that we had in there. This is a new federal act. What it does is establish these tax-deferred counts, but it also establishes that none of this money can be used for means testing. So what you're effectively able to do is be able to put this money in an account. It can't ever be used for mean testing. But what we had in testimony from the Department of Health that there's already four trusts established to make you eligible for Medicaid, which was the Miller Trust, the Special Needs Trust, an income trust, and a pool trust, and an over-income trust. So there's already ways to do this. But I think this gets to the issue that I think the reason that I think that I'm opposed to this, and I think it gets to the senator from Fremont County, is the testimony that we had from the state treasurer's office is getting back with the school trust. It's never been used. What we also know in the federal laws is you can cross state lines right now and do this. there's states, our neighbors, that are already doing this. And I think what we saw is testimony from the state treasurer's office that this would there's a very low number of individuals that may even be eligible in Wyoming for this, and that consequently they're probably going to get better rates if they go out of state anyway. So there's absolutely no barrier for getting into this program as it exists today, because you can simply go across the state line and enroll in it. So consequently, I think it would be a good idea to maybe wait, let it go for a year, see how it's working in other states, come back, and at that time, if it looks like there's demand and an opportunity, maybe we should reconsider it then. And I'm also concerned that this will put additional strain on our Medicaid dollars. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I'm a no vote on this, but I think not opposed to the concept. I just think it's a solution looking to a problem that doesn't exist.
Further discussion? Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And also another question about that. As I read that, I'm looking at the bottom of page 4, in lines 20 through 22, it says, the assets of the trust shall be held in trust for designated beneficiaries. Property rights shall not exist in the trust in favor of the state of Wyoming. And I compare and contrast that with page 14, lines 14 through 20, which says, upon the death of the designated beneficiary, funds in the account established as prescribed section 529A, which is this type of plan, this 529 plan, may be claimed by a Medicaid program of the state or the Medicaid program of another state in accordance to provisions of 529. So I'm trying to reconcile that. They're not payable on payroll of the state, but then when we got here, we says that the state may be claimed. So at some point, to follow up on what the good senator from Carbon County said, there's got to be some kind of notification somewhere, of what state these folks are in, and because they're, at the end of the day, it looks like the state can claim those Medicaid types of expenses, which is very common in various types of special needs trusts and other things. That once they're set up for these individuals with DD, that at the end of that, whatever Medicaid liens have accrued can be satisfied from the provision of those trusts upon the death of the beneficiary in those kind of first-party types of trusts. But anyway, just reconciling there, says one place seems to say you can't, and then the other place it says you can.
Any further discussion? Senator Landon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a quick question. I'm trying to reach up and grab this bill as well, and I hope I'm understanding this correctly. I had a couple of very dear friends that I worked with for years, and thinking of them, I'm hoping that I'm reading this correctly. Is this an opportunity for me to step in through these accounts and provide some financial assistance to either or both of them, and it somehow does not punish them? It's an account they can draw from, and it doesn't diminish anything else that they've got going on with respect to government assistance. If that's the case, then I like that concept, whether we've got some other struggles with the bill or not. But a little bit of clarification as to any and all of us, does this give us an opportunity to help those individuals in some way that we don't through other organizations? Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Christensen.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. A little bit to the background and the kind of the what brought this along. The bill's been out there for a while. I had some people in my community come to me about it and say, what this bill does, what this opportunity does, is it takes these folks that would qualify and changes their ability to save a little more money and plan away for their, you know, put some planning in for their future. And rather than be concerned about hurting their ability to save, that instead of spending every cent they get the first time they have enough for a flat-screen television, they're able to put some money away for maybe a vehicle to change where they work, how they work, and so forth. And that's the idea behind it, to answer the good senator from the center of the state here. That's the intent of it. There are some good questions popping up, and the sponsor of the bill that's presenting may have some ideas on some of the technical questions. But this is a bill worthy of work, and give us a little bit of time to answer a couple of those good legitimate questions that we're getting out of it.
Mr. President.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Folks, there's always been an opportunity to set up a special needs trust for those that for setting up a trust for your handicapped children or children that have special needs. And by adopting the special needs trust, you can identify the specific purposes for which those dollars would be able to use. And if you have someone that's otherwise eligible for state funding, you can create, or federal Medicaid funding, you can set those special needs at a level where it will not make them ineligible. So special needs trusts have existed for a long time. What's now obviously been happening is that the federal tax code is maybe providing an opportunity to set up those special needs trusts, and for the parents to use tax-free dollars to fund those trusts. Now, with respect to the elements, they could be a special needs trust, or they could be a trust for that would make them ineligible for Medicaid service. It wouldn't make any difference. The limits, I assume, will be set in the Federal Act, which with respect to how much you could give tax-free. So it would be no different than when you're saving for your children and grandchildren in these educational accounts. The benefit is to be putting the money in tax-free and be able to take the exemption. And now the notion is creates the opportunity to set up and establish these special needs trusts in a tax-free manner.
Senator Von Flieger.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, not Mr. President. There is a $100,000 limit on this that can go in there where they then start to lose their Social Security benefits if they have any, but they'd still be eligible for Medicaid benefits. And I will agree, now that I've read this, that the good senator and attorney from Casper was correct that on line four, it says property rights shall not exist in trust in favor of the state of Wyoming. But yet when you get down to page 18, it does say that the state holding the trust is eligible to remove whatever's left in it once all debts are settled. So that seems to be a little conflict, and I hope the legal eagles in the room can figure this one out. I will tell you that one of the issues to have possibly a Wyoming account is that it takes a lot of time to get the Medicaid money, should they be using it to match some funds here from the other states. So if it was set up in Wyoming, should it be set up in Wyoming, because you can do it in other states right now and then go across borders, it's somehow or other their payments coming out of that trust are quicker if done in state. The other aspect to it was it was a way of somebody thinking about their child being autistic and or having some other handicap, and they were putting money away that would not injure their ability to collect Medicaid in the future, but money put aside for them for their future should the adult pass away in the family. So it's a great idea. It's a great bill. We do maybe have to straighten that out on page 4, line 21, but we'll work on that hopefully on second reading.
Further discussion, Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And just to go back to my good friend from Casper's question, I mean, what you have is there's when you make these contributions, usually there's two issues that come into play. One is it subject to an income tax deduction? In Wyoming, it's not subject to a federal income tax deduction, but what it is there's a deduction or it's an exemption from of certain amounts from a federal gift tax exemption. There's some federal gift tax exemptions that apply against your total estate tax. If you're worried about giving away more than $5.4 million during your lifetime, then that may be of some worry to you. If you're not worried about that exemption, then it's not really much of a worry. Right now, I think the exemption's at $14 million to others, but for parents and others, they have additional contributions they can make to 529 college plans. I would assume that will also apply here. But those go to gift tax exemption and don't provide any immediate tax exemption. Some states that have done this have state tax where you can get a deduction off your state income tax in doing this, but obviously that's not going to apply in Wyoming. With respect to your ability to donate this, you obviously, if you gave money to someone, they could stick it in a 529 plan. But they can do the same thing with other types of trusts that we've talked about. The special needs trust we've talked about, some of these other trusts, you could contribute that to a friend, and if they had a special needs trust, you'd give it to the trustee, and they could put it in that trust. Now, when we talk about the reversion to the state that comes at the end, we've seen this little conflict in the bill. When you look at special needs trust, there's two types kind of special needs trust. You can set up a special needs trust for the DD person, and it's in their name, and it's their money, and if you go through certain hoops, you can get this special needs trust set up for them, and then you would have language like you have in that on page, I think 14 it was, where at the end of their lifetime, then the state can come back and recover up to the amount that it's advanced in Medicaid payments for DD waiver for these DD waiver folks or others. They can recover that against that type of special needs trust. There's another type of special needs trust that a parent or son, another individual could set up that's independent and is never really. Doesn't really provide for that, but it's never been owned by the person who's subject to who has the DD issue, and so those when you set those up, those don't have to be the state never has a claim against those if you set them up right. But what this does is it provides so if there's accumulations here tax deferred, you can it's kind of like an IRA, it'll accumulate tax deferred, and then obviously when it comes out, there's obviously medical deductions and things that would offset that would help. Alleviate any income, but you can also do that in funds can invest in other types. If just a regular trust can invest in other types of tax deferred things, they can invest in tax deferred annuities and other types of products that can also provide tax deferred benefits. So when it comes down to it, this is another way to get at some things you can already do. I think the question we have to ask ourselves in this bill, Mr. Chairman, is what we've talked about is we had a 529 plan for education. But ultimately, we dropped because no one used it, or there was a few, but there just wasn't ever any critical mass interested in doing that, and so we didn't. Now, if you want a 529 plan for education, you can go to those things, or you can do it in any state, and you can have those same benefits. And I think that's the problem that we need to hear back on this one: is why would we want to do this for Wyoming? Why would we want the treasurer's office to do this when we didn't have that critical mass for the education 529s? What leads us to believe there would be different for these DD 529s, and then it still seems to me that you can still go to I think our state to the east has this in place already or will have it in place here shortly, and there's some other states around us that have these already available. You can go and participate fully in them. If we're not going to have the critical mass in education, which I think the pool for people that potentially would be available for college educations. And wanting to do that is far higher in number, probably 3 to 4 times, I would think, those individuals that are subject to DD waivers, which I think those numbers around 2,200 is total there. You compare that with all the high school kids that are potentially going to college, the potential for 529 plans out there. Obviously, there's, 10 times as many at least. So, again, I'm trying to figure out why a great idea, but, again, with our small rural state population, trying to understand why this problem would work in Wyoming, or how this situation would work in Wyoming.
Further discussion on the bill, Senator Escobar.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, as was mentioned, there are other types of trusts, and as I understand it, the special needs trust, in order to, as my good friend from Casper mentioned, you have to get it right, or it could disqualify you for different benefits you might be eligible for. Now, it's my understanding that in order to establish a special needs trust, you probably have to get a pretty qualified attorney that specializes in that area. So you're talking, I don't know, $2,000, $3,000, $4,000. For many of the people that that I've had contact with that have disabled children or relatives, adult children as far as that goes, they're not in a position to shell out $3,000 for an attorney. You know, just contacting an attorney in many cases is a barrier for many of them. In addition, it was mentioned about, the college fund. It wasn't used to the extent that maybe it should have. Well, I would submit that I think many families that are struggling probably assume that their children will be able to either borrow some money for college, work their way through college, but they're usually fairly qualified individuals. Otherwise, they wouldn't go into college. The individuals we're talking about, the parents for years have been struggling with their children and their disabilities, whatever those might be, in many cases very serious ones, that has really robbed them of energy or finances. You know, but they would like to at least be able to put a little bit of money, $50, $100, into a fund where they could provide for some items that are not covered by Medicaid, and not have the fear of losing their eligibility. You know, people really get anxious and afraid whenever we talk about, for example, closing the resource center in Lander. You know, because what are they going to do with their relatives? In addition, I might add that it's a lot different talking to the treasurer in Cheyenne, Wyoming, than it is talking to the treasurer in Lincoln, Nebraska, or Denver, Colorado, what have you. So I think, just the fact that it would be in Wyoming would be an incentive that would certainly help the individuals that are considering something like this. So I would hope that you would vote in favor of this. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Further discussion on the bill? Senator Hicks.
Mr. Chairman, again, I want to talk to the issue that I don't think the concept is a bad idea. I don't think anybody here is talking down the idea of using a 529 trust for DD people. The real issue, I think, for my concern is there's no barrier to do this already. And I think we've had a good discussion from the center from Natrona County about that. So when we looked at the fiscal note on this, first cost was $200,000 to the Secretary of State's office to set this up, and then their treasurer's office, $50,000 reoccurring. But what they did testify in committee, that is just a wild estimate. They don't have a clue what it's going to cost. So, again, I say there's an opportunity. There's no barrier in any of these programs. Our senator from Natrona County was right. We had testimony that by the middle of the summer that our neighbor to the east will have these, that people can enroll in that program and get into it at that point in time. We're looking at 2016 in this bill. You've got a group of people to put this together, work on it. We're not even looking until 2017 to try to implement this. We don't know what the costs are. There's no barrier to getting the program. I just think it's a solution to a problem that doesn't exist, and it deserves a little scrutiny. Let's see how it works next door, and how many people from Wyoming sign up to it. Is there demand for this? We'll know within a year or two the number of people that want to enter into this, if they want to enter into Nebraska, if it's a significant number of individuals, and we can come back and enact this in Wyoming. So I would ask for your no vote on this bill at this time. Thank you.
Further discussion on the bill. Senator Kraft.
Thank you so much, Mr. Chairman, and thank you all for the really excellent discussion. I obviously am not a trust expert, and I appreciate that. If you will allow the bill to continue over, we can indeed address some of the issues that were raised and hopefully come back with some second reading amendments. But I do want to talk about a couple of things about a 529 ABLE fund. First of all, we talked about, well, we had the 529 education savings and nobody used them. You can only use that for education. That's all that can be used for. This particular fund can be used for all the big laundry list of expenses that I already shared with you throughout a beneficiary's lifetime. So that's another big difference, is these funds can be accessed throughout the lifetime of the beneficiary to help them. If the person who has this disability is actually able to hold down some sort of job, they can contribute to their own plan. This is something that is designed to help these particular individuals kind of incentivize their savings and help with the very limited benefits that are already provided. We heard from the Department of Health in terms of the Medicaid reform bill that we passed a number of years ago tasked them with redesigning the Medicaid waivers for people with developmental disabilities and acquired brain waivers. Or brain injuries, they developed the supports waiver and comprehensive waiver with the idea that we would get people off our waiting list. Okay, they're served on that waiver. The annual budget, the most you can get is $12,500 per year for children and $16,500 per year for adults. So these budgets are intended to just provide a support. They're not designed to meet all of their needs. If we had the ABLE account, that would allow someone who's on the waiver to get additional services or supports that are not covered by their waiver budget. So this isn't just upon death. This is right when these people are trying to make it right now. These additional services, supports, could help a person with a disability remain in the community, obtain and hopefully maintain some employment, reduce the risk of having to be placed in a more restrictive, higher cost setting. I would strongly urge you to allow this to move forward, allow us to address some of the good legal questions that were raised, and provide this for the developmentally disabled community in Wyoming. Thank you.
Any further discussion on the bill? Ready for the question? All those in favor of Senator Christensen's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do so with a favorable recommendation on Senate File 105, please say aye.
Aye.
I'm sorry. House Bill 105, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
Division. All those in favor, please rise. Kind of a left-right thing here.
Thirteen.
All those opposed, please rise. Sixteen. Please be seated. Pursuant to Senate Rule 6-5, having failed a standing division vote, a roll call is required. Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson?
Aye.
Barnard?
Aye.
Aye. Bebout?
No.
No. Boner?
No.
No. Burns?
No.
No. Case? No. Christensen?
Aye.
Coe?
No.
No. Cooper?
No.
No. Kraft?
Aye.
Dockstader?
No.
No. Driscoll?
No.
No. Emmerich?
No.
No. Escobel?
Aye.
Aye. Geis?
No.
No. Hastert?
Aye.
Aye. Hicks?
No.
No. Johnson? Aye. Kinski?
No.
No. Landon?
No.
No. Meyer?
No.
No. Pappas?
No.
No. Perkins?
No.
No. Peterson?
Aye.
Aye. Ross?
Aye.
Rothfuss?
Aye.
Aye. Scott?
No.
No. Von Platern?
Aye.
Aye. Wasserberger?
Aye.
Aye. President Nicholas?
No.
No. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 12 aye, 18 no.
House Bill 105, having failed a roll call vote pursuant to Senate Rule 6-5A, is deemed indefinitely postponed. Senator Landon.
Mr. Chairman, may I have privilege of the floor?
You may.
Please. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Fellow senators, we have some good friends behind us who have made it down here from the center part of the state to enjoy some of the festivities and listen in on some of that riveting debate that we just had. Beth Worthen and several of our homeschool instructors are behind us, and we've got some of our best and brightest students in Wyoming, the homeschool youngsters back here. Would you please welcome them to the Senate? Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Welcome, children, and especially to the dedicated parents who take the time and attention to teach
them. Here, guys.
Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 117. The reading clerk will read that bill.
House Bill Number 117, Pesticide Applicator Certification Program Funding, an act relating to pesticide registration, sponsored by Representative Eklund. It was referred to Committee Number 5, Agriculture, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Barnard, Christensen, Dockstader, Emmerich, and Geis, Senator Emmerich, Acting Chairman. Was re-referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Burns, Hastert, and Ross. Noes, Senators Perkins and Wasserberger, Senator Ross, Chairman.
Heard the reading of the bill. What's your pleasure, Senator Emmerich?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the committee rise and report, committee of the whole rise and report, that it do so with favorable consideration of House Bill 117. This proposed legislation, easy for me to say, increases the cost of annual registration for each pesticide by $15 to fund training of pesticide applicators. Now, the program was originally funded via funds passed to the University of Wyoming Department and to the Department of Agriculture for this training from EPA grants. Well, the funds are disappearing from EPA, and the regulations are becoming more stringent as to pesticide application. And what this bill does, quite simply, is it increases the registration of a product sold in the state of Wyoming by $15 from $75 to $90. That $15 would be directed specifically to the Department of Agriculture and to the University of Wyoming for training purposes. Now, one must understand that this is not general funds, and this is a assessment of fees on a product sold in the state. For example, we have pesticide X. The company pays annually $75, and we're asking for an increase of $15 to $90, would pay $90 per year for the right to sell that pesticide in the state of Wyoming. What's interesting and of importance to this bill is that $15 increase would go specifically to funding of certification for pesticide applicators. And they need this certification to get some restricted use pesticides that are used commercially in the state of Wyoming. But I want to make it very clear that this is a fee that is applied to the sellers of the product. And at the present time, I think Wyoming is the lowest or second to the lowest in the nation as far as registration of individual pesticides. At $75, I think we were the lowest, and at $90, we'll probably go to the second or may stay the lowest. I don't have all of those fees. I do know that in the state of California, a pesticide registered in Wyoming would be $90. In California, it would probably be in the neighborhood of $200 to $300. So this is just a means of raising some funding to continue the certification program provided by the University of Wyoming for those applicators that need the use of restricted pesticides. Going through the bill, it's very simple. 357-356 is the registration of pesticide applicators, and that is to go from $75 to $90. Now, it also stipulates that $75 of the fee collected would continue to be deposited in special natural resource account set up in 115113 and 115303, which relate back to weed and pest districts. From 9 to 16, we see where the $15 would be segregated to be appropriated to the university and the Department of Agriculture for continued training. I do want to make very clear that this is not a fee to the applicator. This is a fee from the registration of a product. That, Mr. Chairman, is the bill, and I'll stand for any questions.
Any discussion on the bill? Seeing none. All those in favor, Senator Embrick's motion that that when the Committee of the Whole rise to report that it do so with a favorable recommendation on House Bill 117, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, no. House Bill 117 has passed Committee of the Whole. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I move the Committee of the Whole beg leave to rise and sit again at 2 p.m.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. We are adjourned. We are recessed till 2.
Mr. Majority, do we have any messages? No messages, nothing? Mr. Majority, Floor Leader, that clears the desk temporarily. There are no messages to be read in. You've asked to recess until 2. Announcements. Senator Geis. Your microphone probably needs to be pulled around to you, Senator Geis.
Okay, that work?
That works great.
Mr. President, your Select Water Committee will meet tomorrow night upon adjournment to handle a few amendments in the Water Commission.
Senator Emmerich.
Thank you, Mr. President. Joint Agriculture Number 5 will meet tomorrow at 8 a.m., Journal Room H36, to discuss interim topics.
Senator Cooper.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, your Joint Travel Committee Number 6 will meet tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. Tuesday in Room H38 to discuss interim topics.
Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your Committee Number 2, Joint Appropriations Committee, will meet tomorrow in Room L55 at 9 a.m. to discuss interim topics.
Senator Bonflater.
Thank you, Mr. President. Number nine, your Joint Minerals and Economic Development will meet with a House committee at 12:30. That's 12:30 in their committee room, which is H-37, to discuss interim topics.
Senator Christensen.
Thank you, Mr. President. The Judiciary Committee will meet with its counterparts in the Jonah Room, H-38, upon the noon recess, so you can head down there. And that will be to discuss interim topics Monday at noon.
Today. Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your committee number eight, Transportation, will meet in about 15-20 minutes to conduct a hearing on the governor's appointment of William T. Panos as director of the Wyoming Department of Transportation. Immediately thereafter, we'll discuss interim topics for the Senate committee. Then, upon adjournment, we'll meet with a like committee for joint transportation in Jonah Room 151 upon adjournment this evening.
Senator Case.
Thank you, Mr. President. Corporations number seven will meet with the like counterparts from the House in about 10 minutes in the S-18 to discuss interim topics. Upon adjournment today, Process and Technology, the Select Committee on Process and Technology will meet on interim. The Conference Committee for Senate File 36 is tomorrow at 8:30 in S-18. Tomorrow, upon the noon recess at 12:15, your Select Committee on Tribal Relations will take up confirmation hearings for Sergio Maldonado and Leslie Shakespeare, and then we'll follow with a joint committee to discuss interim topics.
Folks, I'd like to introduce my son, Nate. Nate's an electrical engineer, graduate from UW, went on to get an MBA and a law degree, and works for a Laramie company, Welldog. He lives here in Cheyenne. His wife, Megan. Megan's our most recent daughter-in-law, and she works as a legal clerk. She's a law clerk working for Judge Campbell here in town. If you'd welcome them. I think they're going to go to lunch with my daughter. You've all heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That motion has been carried. The Senate shall stand and recess until 2 p.m.